From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show. Hello there, this is The Sod Show, and I'm Niall O'Keefe, usually the non-green-fingered yang to Peter Dunnigan's green-fingered yin, the radio producer jelly to his plant-potting peanut butter, the I'd rather be in the kitchen Nigella Lawson to his I'd rather be in the garden Charlie Dimmock. Wait, stop. I know what I did there. I went too far. Anyway, this week I'm going to put on my green-fingered hat. Well, I'm not actually putting on an actual hat, and if I did, it wouldn't actually have fingers in it, and they probably wouldn't be green anyway, would they? But anyway, I've read somewhere today that the ground is generally in good condition at the moment for the planting of all kinds of deciduous and pot-grown conifers. Now, I'm just wondering if those who wrote that experienced the same torrential downpour of Amazonian-style rainstorms as the rest of us recently, or if they're living on the continent somewhere sipping mojitos. Frankly, as people are going past my window using canoes, snorkels and other such paraphernalia, I'd say hold off a bit on that planting. The soil is a bit too wet in most parts. Besides, as Peter tells me, you just can't get the trees right now. In fact, if there's any planting you want to do, contact Mr. Dunnigan himself, Peter Dunnigan. Easy chap to find. Go to sodshow.com. All the contact details are there. Now, we've no gardening news this week, but on another thing that I've read, which happens to be true, it is a good time of year right now to remove your old summer bedding, take out the weeds that may be there, and plant spring plants and bulbs, especially tulips. Now, I'm no expert on this kind of thing, but the experts are the likes of our man Peter Dunnigan, who I already mentioned, and those lovely folk in the National Botanic Gardens. And when it comes to the aforementioned colourful perennial bulbous flowering plant, the mighty tulip, well, the experts come from Holland, or more correctly, the Netherlands. Well, this week we're squeezing in all of these people and more Dutch flower experts with wonderful accents. The genius behind the National Botanic Gardens, a nice lady who won a competition there, and the Sod Show's own Peter Dunnigan, who will first be speaking to the man who represents the Netherlands in Ireland, Dutch Ambassador Paul Schellekens.
So, first of all, I suppose, how should I refer to you? Do I call you the ambassador?
Well, that is whatever you want. My name is Paul Schellekens, and I am the Dutch ambassador, the ambassador of the Netherlands. And I arrived here a little more than 2 months ago, mid-August.
We're in the National Botanic Gardens. When we think of tulips, we very much think of Holland, as sure as we think of shamrocks, we think of Ireland. We're in the process of planting what I'm told will take approximately 7 odd days to create an illustration in flower, or what will be in flower, of James Joyce. Can you explain, I suppose, the connection between the ambassador's office in Ireland and here? Obviously, just the whole Dutch thing and it being in Ireland, but is it a little bit further than that?
Well, it's perhaps an even a bit complicated story, but we had a tulip naming competition in the beginning of this year. It was won by a lady who is present here also today, and the name that she proposed was the Molly Bloom, which of course is a James Joyce character, so to say. And from there, because of the winning name, the idea came up to have a portrait of James Joyce formed by tulips. That is what we have witnessed today, the beginning of the planting of the bulbs, or the flower tube, and some 6,000 or 7,000 tulips, which will bloom in March, April, and then we'll see the portrait of James Joyce.
The last time I was in the residence of the ambassadors, I noticed there were tulips planted in the front garden. When you're at home in your own country, is it a silly question to say? Maybe it's a little bit Irish people and Irish dancing kind of thing, but is it something that you do when you're in the Netherlands, tulip planting or tulip growing? Have you ever been involved in it? Are you a gardener yourself?
No, I'm not a gardener myself. I don't have a garden. I have an apartment in the Netherlands. But indeed, the Netherlands and the tulip have been together, let's say, since the 17th century. And we love the tulip. Well, other people that get to know the tulip also love it. But we love it very much because of its vibrant colors, its beautiful shape. So yes, indeed, many Dutch have tulips in their garden.
One of the things that I thought the most beautiful was when I took a train from Germany all the way up to Enschede, and I went through when every single tulip in the Netherlands was in flower. It was one of the most beautiful things. And as we passed through the fields of tulips, people stood up to open the windows to let the air, the scent, blow in. How beautiful is Holland when it's in flower for those who have never been there?
Well, it's hard to describe, but particularly in the west of the Netherlands, where also the Keukenhof is, you have huge flower fields. They are very flat, and it's indescribable, really, what you see, because you could see a whole field of flowers, which is red, or which is blue or yellow. It's very colorful from the ground, and even from the air, of course, it's more impressive, because it's a palette of colors.
When I was young, the paintings we used to draw as Irish children were vales and hills, and they were always yellow and green. As a child growing up, when you drew it blue and red, was that accepted? Is that a very silly childlike question, I'm sure?
No, it's not a silly question, but it's a question I cannot answer because I don't remember really.
If people want to come to the National Botanic Gardens to see, this display will be open all the way until March, April next year, I'm sure?
Well, the display will be there, but the tulips and the other flowers will start blooming in, let's say, around the 1st of April, I suppose, more or less. So then the month of April and perhaps a little bit into May would be the best time to see the portrait in bloom.
And if you want to see the photographs, the pre-photographs, we should have them available on sodshow.com. In the meantime, they will also be available on the Facebook page for the Ambassador's Residence. And from the Botanic Gardens, thank you so much for your time. Pleasure.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
So I'm at the National Botanic Gardens in Dublin, and in my company is...
Jan Gulbemont.
And...
Noel van Ruiten.
The occasion that we're here is the planting of a... How would you describe it? It's James Joyce's face made out of...
Portrait of James Joyce. And he is the writer of a very important book here in Ireland. And so we have made it a portrait for him.
You're doing it out of tulips.
Yeah, tulips and grape hyacinths.
One of the bulbs that's going to be planted here today is the James Joyce bulb.
No, there is geen James Joyce bulb.
There is no tulip named after James Joyce as far as we know. Last April, there was a tulip baptized here called Molly Bloom. That's the start of this connection with James Joyce.
Hubert, can you explain to those listening at home the big picture of what's happening here?
In April, a tulip naming competition was organized. And the winner of the tulip naming competition, who called it Molly Bloom, thought of the name through a book of James Joyce, Ulysses. And that's where the connection comes from to planting a portrait here of James Joyce, together with the National Botanic Gardens and a Dutch company that cultivated the Molly Bloom tulip.
How does the Dutch embassy manage to get a section of land in the National Botanic Gardens? It's a little bit longer than just one phone call to say, how you doing? We'd like to dig up a big patch of ground and do this. How does it all come about?
It comes about with getting into contact with the National Botanic Gardens, talking with each other, getting each other enthusiastic about the idea, and then planning on the logistics without, you know, interfering with the normal business or the normal logistics of the National Botanic Gardens or that of the Dutch embassy. So it's just a bit of cooperation and mutual agreements, I guess, and at the end of the day, if you have common sense, you can always organize something that is original and new for, well, in this case, for just 1 year, I guess. 2013 is going to bloom, and it's just a great idea. And I think at the end, if you ask the National Botanic Gardens, they will be happy with the project as well.
How many bulbs are going to be planted? Who do I ask this question to?
They are planting 15,000 grape hyacinths and about 3,000 tulips.
For those listening at home, the normal way to plant a bulb is you go twice the depth of, you take your garden trowel, you put one bulb into the bottom, you push the soil back across. In the 5,500 category, I'm kind of thinking it's going to take you a couple of months, if not years. There's obviously a different way of doing it en masse.
the people from the Botanic Garden prepared what we would call a plant bed. Mm-hmm. It'll be roughly about 20 feet by 20 feet. Mm-hmm. They dig the soil out, made it about 10 centimeters deep, made it a bit loose, so the in the future time the bulb's roots might get into the ground. And tomorrow, when the planting is completed, tomorrow afternoon, it'll be covered by new soil, a bit light soil. So if we would get too much rain here on the island, it wouldn't be too solid. Okay. So the bulbs must have the opportunity to get...
So in short, to explain to the people who wouldn't plant as many bulbs as these two gentlemen, what you have done is you've taken the top of a lemon meringue pie and you have placed strawberries on top, and then once that's done, you will then cover over with the soil.
That's the idea.
Is that a good explanation?
That's a good explanation, yes.
What is the most amount of bulbs you've ever planted in your life, or is there a figure on that?
Well, I was a professional grower, actually. I'm retired now, but my companion, he was head designer of the Keukenhof show garden in Holland for 35 years. And over there you talk about, well, millions of tulips, Jan.
7 million tulips every year.
Holy God.
Yeah, by hand.
By hand.
By hand. So we put the bulbs on the ground. They also do it in the Keukenhof, but after that, they put them in the ground.
On your knees, get a small kind of shovel thing, and all by hand, all sorts separately, of course. For the Keukenhof is a show garden for the people who send in the bulbs, the growers, the professional growers.
So pardon me, but like 5,500 is a bit of a walk in the park, if that's the right cliche to use. it's not a difficult day's work. How long does it take to plant how many millions bulbs?
7 million bulbs. They started in the 1st of October and they are ready at the 15th of December with about 40 people.
Here's one for you. Are there many differences that you've seen between the love for the tulip bulbs in Ireland as versus is Holland? Is there a vast difference? Is it huge? Is it extraordinary?
Every country has got this type of bulb they like. Some countries like daffodils, some countries like hyacinths, some like tulips. But tulips is, of course, Dutch. I think that's our main bulb export.
If you were to be typically Irish and you were to say Ireland shamrock in equal measures, it's probably very much Holland.
And tulips. And the wooden shoes, of course, and then the windmills, you know. But if you see a logo everywhere in the world, if you see a logo of a tulip, people will know that's Holland. Yeah. Tulips.
Is there a secret to growing tulips successfully, or is there a tip that you can give the Irish people if they wish to go and purchase a Molly Bloom?
The professional growers in Holland, the old growers say, a tulip should smell the air of the sea. That means no strong winters and no hot summers. That's the start of the bulb growing industry in Holland. Near the dunes, near the sea, mild winters and not too warm summers. And a good soil, of course.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and welcome to Ireland. It's good to see you both.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
Now, our thanks, of course, go to the two Dutch gardening experts who I won't do the disservice of trying to pronounce their names. We will return in a few minutes to the National Botanic Gardens of Ireland to speak to both the director of the National Botanic Gardens and the lady who won the competition and named this new breed of tulip the Molly Bloom. First up, we're going to take a break for music, and this Molly Bloom tulip, it is a little bit kind of white and blue in colour. It's a bit blue in tone, and that's about as good as the link gets right now. Here on The Sod Show are the Blue Tones.
Ask and then you don't have to have the solution. You've got Blue Tones there with Slight Return. This is The Sod Show in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Now, it is time for us to go back to Dublin's National Botanic Gardens. So very shortly, Peter will be talking to the director of the Botanic Gardens, Dr. Matthew Jebb. But first up, he's got a competition winner to talk to. Let's just get her to introduce herself.
And my name is Mary O'Sullivan. My married name is McClure, and I won the competition under the name Mary McClure.
Mary, you came up with the name Molly Bloom. The last time a Dutch bulb was named after somebody or something Irish, it was...
Mary McAleese. And so... to me, you know, to come up with something that would be easy for a non-English speaking person to name and to be able to articulate the name, I thought Molly Bloom would be a good one. But I suppose the most important thing for me was that it was highlighting the importance of James Joyce, which was one of Ireland's greatest treasures.
Are you a big gardener yourself?
Love the garden. My husband and myself love both, love the garden. And unfortunately, I think I wasted more money on plants that failed than plants that have grown and that. But I love flowers and my husband loves trees. So together, we love gardening.
Our very own Jane Powers has a nice concept, I find anyway, which is, you know, that when one plant passes, it kind of leaves a space for something else. Is it a case of that maybe you spent money on plants that passed away and you were kind of going, like, feck it? Or
Yeah, we've had lots of spaces. A lot of spaces, and but we fill them, and we've increasingly found that there are certain plants that work well in our garden, and some that don't, and we're sticking to the ones that are surviving now.
How big of a bulb fanatic are you?
I suppose I've got about 4 big bags of bulbs waiting to be planted in the garden at home, and if I have the time, I would happily spend every day in the garden. But I'm also a housewife and a mum, and I work part-time as well, so I don't have a lot of time.
What are you going to do with your 4 sacks of bulbs? Will you do something like the lads have done here and create a James Joyce face out of it?
Or? I don't think I'm that artistic, but we'll dig a few big holes and in they'll go and hope for the best.
Can I ask you a question? For those who aren't gardeners, who maybe should be, I'd like to just get that extra little bit of a go on, get out there kind of a thing. What words of pearls of wisdom would you give to those who aren't gardeners, maybe might like to be a little bit better at?
Well, I just think you can't beat colour, and in Irish weather, if you can get a bit of colour, especially in the springtime, it's just worth anything for the spirit. And we can't afford not to have colour today in our gloomy days. And so I think I'd rather buy a bunch of flowers any day than a loaf of bread.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Do I call you Dr. Matthew Jebb?
You can call me that if you like, yes.
What's the official title?
Director of the National Botanic Gardens.
Can we backtrack here? And I've always told the story that, like, when I was 5 and I grew plants under my bed, fill in the blanks, progress to lawnmower, yep. Progress to college, come out of horticultural college. It kind of follows itself from there. When we go all the way back to when you were a wee nipper, were you always that much a lover of plants, or how did it all happen for you?
No, my real first love was fossil collecting. So geology, paleontology.
Okay.
And then, you know, getting to college, I decided to do botany, simply because, again, you know, botany sounded pretty exotic, and natural history interests me of every description, you know, so I delight in stars and the cosmos and planets and fossils and geology and plants and animals.
What was the first stone you remember finding that you thought was out of this world?
Walking along beaches, I would just end up with armfuls of every pebble that was slightly different in colour. I had to collect it. You know, it became a sort of bizarre obsession.
Your parents must have loved you.
But it's, obviously. I think it's probably one of the healthiest, in that, you know, if I'd been collecting little moths and butterflies and pinning them out, there's something slightly gruesome about it. And yet, you know, if a child does not experience natural history like that, to actually handle and look at something, you miss out on the excitement of the world. You can't empathise with the biological world that surrounds us. I think mentally why I wanted to be a geologist was to travel to the Sahara or to foreign countries and explore. And botany was probably a better form of exploration because there's so much more to see. You don't have to dig around in the rocks to find it. It's right in front of your eyes.
If people don't know where the Botanic Gardens in Dublin is, and again, we're on radio, we're international podcast, explain it to me, quickest way to get here from Dublin City.
we're almost due north and less than a mile and a half from the city centre. So just from the top of O'Connell Street, you can find us in 25 minutes walk.
Excellent. Tractor.
Tranquil charms of the Botanic Gardens.
It happens. It is, without question, a little bit of an unusual reason for me to be talking to you. The last time I heard your voice, you were introducing the wonderful Jane Powers and the launch of her book. We're here because there is a sculpt in bulbs of James Joyce's upper half. Is that the friendliest way to describe
it? Just his face, yes. So it's a portrait of James Joyce, and it's the classic look. If you were going to say, you know, who can we make a portrait of in simple colour and make it instantly recognisable, James Joyce is probably it.
What's it like when you get that kind of a phone call saying, how you doing, we'd like to dig up a part of what is, you know, years of hundreds of years in Irish national heritage, and we want to play Cluedo on your piece of ground, is that okay? Is it something that you're normally hesitant to do? I mean, if Mary, the stereotypical mom from the country, rang you and said, how you doing, I'd like to plant a tree, the answer is obviously
not. Yes, because we would, you know, we're a garden of 200 years of history now, and every year we plant literally thousands of new things. But nothing is ever static. We would never say, oh, you can't touch that bit of landscape because it's been like that for 50 years. If you don't, as in a domestic garden, if you don't give a garden a makeover every 10, 12 years, it starts to show. It really does look a bit decrepit. You know, you need to start digging things up, changing things around, replanting, and it just freshens it up. It's what nature does, and it's what one needs to do in a botanic garden. So if we just look at the front of the botanic gardens here, 12 years ago, they looked nothing like this, completely changed. All of these beds are reorganized. Large number of trees have died or disappeared from old age or disease, and new ones have gone in. So it would be unrecognizable when you compare photographs from the past. It is astonishing how much has changed. And yet, it's still exactly the same. People come and they say, it's just like I remember it. And I always think, that's interesting. Yes, you remember just a very pleasant experience, and we still try to maintain that, but we do it by constantly changing.
Do you get people come up and complain to you because that tree, or you're felling that one down, or that one, I mean, it may horticulturally need to come down? Do you get into trouble for these things? Do people pass you on the street and heckle you?
No, not, no, I haven't. Actually, one of the most interesting complaints I had was that we had too many nest boxes here, and we were therefore breeding too many blue tits. That's often a difficult one to explain why you're doing it. They're great pest control little birds, you know, and any horticulturist, the most important thing actually is having a natural form of pest control. And little blue tits and the like are extremely efficient at that.
National Botanic Gardens is free to enter. I know there's a website up there.
Botanicgardens.ie.
You do run a huge, vast amount of gigs throughout the year for people to come along and get involved. I see there's a pumpkin display somewhere over to my right-hand side. There's a lot of effort goes into keeping this place looking as good as it does.
That's right. I mean, one of our great central tenets now is that we are here as an educational resource. One of the most valuable things to catch children young, and I can just think back to my own childhood, what excited me about natural history is something we need to put into children's heads so that they come to respect the world around them.
What did excite you about natural history when you were young?
The sheer diversity of it. It's as simple as that. Every fossil you picked up or every flower you looked at seemed to be different from the last one. And now, as a taxonomist of many years working on tropical plants, I realise that that wonder is right at home in your backyard. Just looking at a daisy close up is a fascinating experience. For however long you've been a horticulturalist, the beauty of a daisy flower is as great as any, you know, tropical orchid.
He said taxonomist, he has nothing to do with removing money from your earnings. Matthew, were you one of those that went and picked daisies or and made daisy chains, or were you one of those that insisted that they shouldn't be in the perfect lawn? You know, was it a lover of all plants, or was it all plants except for those classified as weed?
I suppose in terms of plant, I mean, my father was a great vegetable gardener, so, you know, that would have involved killing a lot of weeds. But probably the greatest inspiration for natural history was actually holidaying on the beach every year and playing in rock pools. They were the real delight to me.
folks, you should come down and see this place before December, before the bulbs come up. It'll just be a patch of soil. Is that fair?
It will. It'll be a sort of an outline of Joyce's head. But by January, the leaves will be up and you'll be able to get an inkling of what's coming. And by April, we hope you'll be in full bloom.
Dr. Matthew Jebb, thank you so much for your time. You're an absolute gentleman.
Thank you.
Well, that's it from the National Botanic Gardens, and that's it for another Sod Show for another week. Our thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Just a quick reminder, if you've anything for our gardening news, that'll return next week. Just send us an email, a message, a tweet, a Facebook comment, whatever you want. You can get in touch via our website at sodshow.com. So goodbye from Peter, and goodbye from me, Niall O'Keefe. Get out and enjoy the great outdoors. We'll talk to you soon.